Text for the morning study is in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Reading and you're hearing the first 15 verses. Second Corinthians 11 and verse 1. I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness, for you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Or if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you perceived, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think I am the least inferior to those super apostles. But I am not a trained speaker. But I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way, and will continue to do so. And surely, as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. And I will keep on doing so, for what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. This is God's word. Before my wife and I endured our first child getting married, before Linda Gale was to be married, we decided to go see the movie Father of the Bride, Steve Martin and so on. I was devastated by that movie. I cried in that movie theater. And I have to admit, it wasn't like tears. I was boo-hooing. I mean, I was loud. I mean, I couldn't almost stop myself. The Presbyterian can't say this, but I'll say them. You know, it was terrible. I mean, the girl looked a lot like my daughter, Linda Gale. And I identified so much with Steve Martin. And I was overwhelmed with the thought of preparing for my girl to be a bride. Well, it was so bad. Then my family insisted I go see the movie again to get out of my system. So we saw it a second time, and it was the same story, second verse. Maybe a little less. And so we had to see it a third time. And finally, the fourth time, there were just a few tears. Fathers have special affection for their daughters. And to prepare them for their wedding is what they want to do, but it's hard. It takes a lot of servanthood and a lot of sacrifice. We've been studying together, shall do again today, the biblical metaphor of marriage, where God uses the picture of wedding to portray His salvation, His covenant relationship with us. And the Bible ends with the wedding of the Lamb, your wedding. Brothers and sisters in Christ. For Christ the Lamb has spilled His blood to purchase your redemption, to enable you, to give you purity from all your iniquity. The Holy Spirit ministering in you to sanctify you, to make you the bride of Christ. But even now our Lord Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, is in heaven preparing a place for us. And He is continuing throughout the realm to conquer all His enemies and ours to make peace and to prepare for this wedding. But in our text today, we see a different sort of a twist on the biblical metaphor. And this is interesting as you study Scripture, that the themes that are so familiar often have interesting twists to them. And so here is this twist with our text in 2 Corinthians 11:2. See it again with me. The Apostle Paul writes, "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to Him." Now this twist, as you can see it, is the Apostle Paul, though he is a part of the bride of Christ for sure, the language here seems to imply that he sees himself in another role as well. And that is the role of being a father of the bride. Look at the language. "I promised you to a husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to Him." Paul sees himself then, let me say it again, the mixture of metaphors, that as a bride, as part of the bride of Christ, Paul as a part of the bride of Christ, now expands that metaphor and portrays himself not only as a part of the bride, but as it were, the father of this bride. And he lays out here his responsibilities in part in this chapter as a father would speak, caring for his bride whom he's trying to present to the Lord. Some of you have seen this in your studies of the Old Testament, Jewish history. There are those rabbis who look upon Moses in Exodus 19 when Moses brings the people of Israel through the Red Sea and into the wilderness to Mount Sinai to be joined in covenant relationship with God. They see Moses as the father of the bride. And you can almost picture Moses, the father of the bride, leading this bride, Israel, through the wilderness down this long processional to this holy mountain to be united with the Father in His covenant contract, which is portrayed later by the prophets as a marriage. Well, each of you here, men and women, focuses rightly, primarily rightly, on being in the bride of Christ. And you focus upon preparing yourself to be that pure bride through Jesus' work and righteousness and the Holy Spirit's ministry. There is this variation in the theme which I announced to you today, that you also have responsibilities to mother and father this church. And particularly today, I want to address those who espouse to be leaders in the Church of Christ. I want to address those in particular who by God's grace and the Spirit's ministry are called to be leaders. And I want to ask you, are you prepared to serve the Lord by being fathers of the bride? Let's look at this text more carefully this morning, and there are 3 points I'll announce them to you so you can know that I can actually preach with an outline. They are these. Verse 2, they're all in verse 2. Paul says, "I promise you." The first point is a father's duty is to promise the bride. The second point is the father purifies the bride. And then the third is he presents the bride. These are the 3 points today. First of all, then, the father's responsibility in any wedding, normally speaking, is to promise the bride. And the language here speaks of Paul, as it were, making a contract with Christ for this bride to be his. "I promised you to one husband, even to Christ." Now, again, the language, the technical word here, as you know if you have your Greek testaments, is joint. "I jointed you. I joint you to Christ. I'm fitting you to Christ." The language would be fitting of a matchmaker in the Jewish culture. I match you to Christ. I fit you to Christ. I promise you to Christ. And what Paul does throughout here will actually image the Father in heaven's behavior mostly. As you recall, without maybe turning there just now to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 11, where Paul makes it clear in the Lord's great mercy, he chose us before the foundation of the earth to be united with Christ. It's the Father who promised, who elected, who chose, who matched the bride to Christ. Now, in that language, in that great theology of the Father's behavior, the Father's fatherhood of the bride, Paul comes along as an earthly servant of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and he says, I now mimicking the Father, I have matched you, I have promised you, I have engaged you to Christ. How so? Well, of course, by his evangelistic ministry. Paul views his role as an apostle evangelist, as the role of a father, preaching the gospel, and by God's grace, bringing souls into the kingdom, into the church, forming them into the bride. And Paul says to the people in Corinth, whom he had evangelized, I engage you. I promise you to Jesus Christ. Well, brothers, will you do the work of an evangelist? Will you do the work of an evangelist? Which is to say, will you do the work of the Father of the bride? Will you take upon yourself this high and holy, thrilling calling? And see yourself, young though you be, as fathers of this bride for Christ. Secondly, the Father is concerned about purity. The Father purifies the bride. I promise you to one husband to Christ so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. And what Paul speaks about here in this text throughout this book, of course, has to do with a purification of the sanctification, the holiness issues of the church. Now, once again, and perhaps I will ask you now to turn with me to first chapter of Ephesians just to kind of keep you with the theology and to also keep you awake, really. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we see here again this wonderful section we love to share with Baptists. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, and so forth. Turn to Revelation 21. We don't want to wear Revelation out today. Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. A bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Back to our text, 2 Corinthians 11:2, the Apostle Paul, in father-like language, says, I promise you to one husband to Christ so that I present you to him as a pure virgin. This is my goal. I labor, I serve in order to present you on that day as a purified virgin. As a father guards the virginity of his daughters, so he may present them on their great wedding day, God willing and helping, as pure virgins, Paul says, I, through the precious cleansing power of Christ's blood and the ministry of the Holy Spirit outlined in the gospel, seek to labor in the Word, seek to labor by the Spirit to purify you through the preaching of the Word, the means of grace to sanctify you so that on that day I may present you pure. As a father of the bride, Paul guarded the purity of the church. He left elders in charge of every congregation he initiated. He returned as a shepherd when he was able. He sent pastors like Timothy or Titus, Epaphras, and so forth. He wrote letters. And when there was something amiss, look at verse 3, the Apostle Paul could rise to the occasion of a Dutch uncle, that is to say, a father with some ire, and he says, "But I am afraid. Just as he was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Do you see, men, women, do you see how the Apostle Paul took seriously his charge, not only as an apostle, but in the language here, as a father to the bride? The Apostle Paul was concerned about other suitors who might come along. Look at verse 13. Suitors who are not sincere. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder. Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. The Apostle Paul shows ire. He shows pathos. He shows passion. He's concerned not just that they make a decision for Christ. He's concerned that the church progress in purity. As you fathers would defend the purity of your girls, you would drive away, and I hope you drive away from the doorstep any scoundrel who seeks to take advantage of your daughters. And you would even give your... You would give your life for their lives. So, as a faithful spiritual father, the Apostle Paul boldly guards the purity of the church, fathers to be, fathers in making. Are you concerned about the purity of the church? It's a part of your ordination vows. It isn't the only goal, I know. Don't make it the only goal. But it is a goal of the Lord Jesus Christ ministering through you to place you as a spiritual father in charge of His flock, in charge of His bride-to-be, that you endeavor to help the church become the pure bride. Be careful here, but be alert. Be committed, be willing. It begins with your own personal search for purity, your own personal pilgrimage in purity. But do you see the need of the church corporate to be pure? As you study and you prepare yourself, are you also preparing, are you thinking about your theology so you can be a pure, that you can hold the ministry of the Word of God in purity? Are you interested in Orthodox theology? Are you willing to labor in your studies? And when you get out, are you willing to continue to labor in your studies? Fathers to be, are you willing to work with your elders to prepare them so they may take upon themselves the ruling office, able, committed to these vows as well? Will you stand with the Apostle Paul and oppose in your church the marriage of a Christian to a non-Christian? I went to a church growth seminar down in Florida, And an interesting experience, as ever, the one that comes in my mind is the great church growth expert was saying one of the ways you can cause a church to grow is to marry anybody who wants to be married in your community. And he says, now I know some of you have a little problem with that. And he looked over at me. And during the break, one of the men at the conference said to me, I would marry a Christian to a leopard worshiper. And he was proud of that fact. And I kind of backed away a few steps and see anything would happen. Women, are you willing to support the church and support your husband in the attempt to lovingly, wisely, with the wisdom of your elders supporting you, guide the church into purity? I have a phone call waiting for me here at the office from a young person who lives in Jackson. He's a member of our church in Orlando under discipline for an unbiblical divorce. Been under suspension for a year. We corresponded with him. Latest correspondence, the session is rejoicing that he has repented of his sins. I'm looking forward to seeing him, God willing, extending to him again the right hand of fellowship and saying, praise God! Excuse me. Praise God! Discipline brings purity. Are you willing to take the heat, man? The Apostle Paul took heat. He took mocking. He took all kinds of abuse for his fatherly role in the purity of the church. Some of you may have seen in the newspaper, I got it in Orlando, of a bride and groom standing by the altar with this. In our paper, the caption was, I take this stranger. And here's the story. David Weinlich, Bloomington, Minnesota, had known for years that he wanted to get married Saturday. This was a Saturday that it was written. He knew where the wedding would be held. And he knew who the guests would be. He just hadn't picked out the bride. So a couple dozen adventurous women from several states showed up Saturday at the bridal candidate mixer. To brave questioning from Weinlich's friends and relatives, whose votes determined who would be his bride. It turned out to be Elizabeth Runze. And there's a picture of Elizabeth looking warily up at David. And as I read this article with this woman marrying this stranger, I say to myself, where is her father? Could he possibly allow this? And two paragraphs later, her father walked her down the aisle. Well, we grunt and we grimace and we spit and we... This can't be. Yeah, right there. It is. Men, will you be fathers of the bride? And will you promise to those whom you bring to Christ by grace, promise them to Jesus, engage them to Jesus, and will you seek to sanctify them and bring them in purity to Him? And finally, in the same verse 2, will you then present them? I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to Him. Now the presentation is something which Paul is very zealous. It has to do with his wanting to finish his course with joy. It has to do with him finishing his life as he's talked to the Ephesian elders. Having been a faithful overseer, a faithful shepherd, a faithful servant, I promise you to Christ when I evangelize you, I work with you to purify you, and by God's grace, I want to finish the job and present you to Him, even as a father. Again, the father is a model. as we see in Romans chapter 8, that great golden chain of graces intends not only to save us, but to glorify us. Paul has a theology working for him. I want it to work for us. Paul's zeal, Paul's zest is to finish his task, to do the work of a real dad, to be there, God helping him, to present them. And for this task, and in this task, Paul himself labored, and he was often he had to suffer as a servant. Look at 23, verse 23. These false servants who are not really fathers of the bride, he castigates, and he says of himself, verse 23, are they servants of Christ? Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been more constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in dangers in the city, in dangers in the country, in dangers of the sea, in danger of my false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep often. I have been often hungry and thirst, and have gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressures of my concern for the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? Why is Paul going through all this agony? Because he is a father at heart. He is a father to the bride. His servant role includes the role of the father of the bride. Young men, are you willing to be fathers? I hope that you are here preparing yourselves at seminary to be fathers. Hope that you understand the task involves bringing people to Christ by His Spirit, promising them to Jesus, purifying them by the Word and sacraments, and presenting them by God's grace to Him. I'm amazed, while we struggle so much with this, how so little the world seems to care about the church, and even believers, how little they care about the church. Brother Perkins said this morning how the mantra today is that the church has to serve our needs. It doesn't meet our needs. We're looking elsewhere. The Bible says the church is the apple of God's eye. But to many, it's a prune. If the church is the bride of Christ and takes all this theology from Genesis to Revelation to explain God's plan and love for the bride, why is it that the church is so undervalued? I say to all of you who hear me here this day, that you are sitting among fathers of the bride. You are privileged to study with men who have given their lives for the bride of Christ. And from them you seek to learn. You hear their sacrifices, and you hear their stories, and you learn from their wisdom. Your pastors, young and old, as they model for you Christ, model for you the love of the Father, model for you the sacrifice of Jesus, model for you the persistence of the Spirit of God, model for you fatherliness. This seminar has been a great joy to me, and I've been learning some things. I've been praying for somebody for, 15 years that I haven't talked to in that amount of time. There was in Hixson, Tennessee some years ago a young OPC pastor who seeked to raise up a faithful church in Hixson. It didn't really work out very well. The work closed its doors and Barry Henning went. I didn't know where he went. But I kept praying for Barry. I knew he went to East St. Louis. I knew that much. I thought of Barry Henning working in the inner city of East St. Louis, and it just thrilled me, but made me fear. You know what happened in Tennessee, not happen again. And so I prayed for Barry and for the Bride of Christ. I didn't know till I talked to Chris Clark that the Lord has blessed that ministry wonderfully. The New City Fellowship in East St. Louis, where Barry served as pastor, where Barry became a father to that bride. And then this morning, John Perkins and his ministry said in his very direct and humble way, my mission for the few years I got left is to clarify the mission of the church. We're surrounded here by fathers of the bride. And I'm asking you now, are you willing? Are you willing to join the force and to love what God loves and to be a father to His bride? Let us pray.